Hello, Atlanta City fans. This is your host, Gavin Rushnell, and welcome back to the OC Lions Block Podcast, a fan's perspective over Atlanta City Soccer Club. Today was a big day for Orlando City. We announced the signing of our new manager, Oscar Pareja, and here to talk with me about it today is Logan from the Roar Podcast. How are you doing, Logan?
What's going on?
It's been a great day. It's been a busy day for all of us content creators. I know you're editing a podcast already, and you're filling in for me, Logan. I had a cancellation today for a guest, and you were kind of like my last minute call to come on and be a guest and to talk about Pareja. So I really appreciate you coming on. So I don't really want to waste any more time. I want to get into it. How are you feeling about the signing?
Positive. I think this is one of the most positive I've been at this stage in an off season since maybe 2016, probably.
It really is a positive time. I've seen a lot of positivity around the club. There are questions to be raised. He did fail to make playoffs in Mexico this past season with Tijuana, and I watched their last two or three games ever since we were linked with him, and you know, it's been pretty poor play from them. Are you at all concerned about that?
Not really. I don't think it really impacts what I thought he was going to be able to do here, which is put us in a position to make the playoffs consistently. They did make the playoffs in the Clausura in the spring. They were in a position to make the playoffs in the Apertura, but right after the link to Orlando City came out, their next three games, they completely fell apart. So I always kind of wonder if Pareja had that option on the table and started kind of looking elsewhere, which I think you have to look at that and wonder if something like that happens, could he do that to us? But I think there are explanations for their kind of collapse that maybe don't necessarily translate.
Let's talk type of players he might want on this team. Something that I know you've talked about is the stationary wingback role. I remember you talking about how you were a little bit worried about Juan, but it looks like he is staying, and Moutinho as well, who likes to bomb up that left side. These are not stationary wingbacks in our team. Do you think we see both of them starting next season, or do you think we bring somebody in?
Well, I don't know if it's so much stationary as it is guys who are able to kickstart attacks. You know, I think Moutinho could actually be an asset there because at least when he was coming into the league, the big question was, is he going to be a central midfielder, a center back, or a left back? Obviously, he's been a left back, but he has those central midfielder traits that I think Pareja will be able to utilize because they aren't always pushing up. You know, they're more involved in the buildup. They're more involved in possession. They're not just going to bomb and overlap. And I think, at least in that respect, Moutinho is a little bit better than Juan. You know, he's not incapable of doing that, but he's definitely at his best when you're trying to get him to the touchline so he can put that cross in. So I think as far as style of play, they can both fit. The big thing is going to be Moutinho. I can't trust him. I don't know about you, because he was out half the season with hamstring issues. Like, it's not necessarily Moutinho doesn't fit. It's, can he stay healthy long enough to be relied upon to be that starter?
Yeah, it's hard to rely on him. You bring up a good point there. It's very hard to rely on him. I have been, you know, when I do my research on what kind of players I'm looking for, I have been looking at some left backs. I'm not going to lie to you. It's difficult to see him going through the whole entirety of next season, playing the whole entire season, especially after what we saw with his injury record this season. You know, we can hope, we can pray that he's doing that work that he needs to do to strengthen his muscles, to strengthen his body, to be physically able to keep up with everything next season and not get injured. But it is worrying. But moving on, I want to talk about the DM situation next. Do you think Rossell, Yuri Rossell, is going to succeed in this kind of system?
I think he will. I think, you know, the central midfield roles are kind of the crux of Pareja's style. You know, he likes to, kind of like JOC, he likes to be difficult to play against. He likes to muddle up that midfield. And while guys like Mendes are going to be more crucial to ball winning, you know, being that destroyer type, messing up opposition attacks, you're going to need better passers. And, you know, Mendes has really excelled in the short passing game, but Pareja's empty bucket, he doesn't really like to have, there's a lot of space there. And so I think a guy with Rozelle's ability to break lines is going to be crucial to starting those counterattacks that Pareja likes, especially when he's away from home. So I definitely think we needed somebody with Uri's skill set. I think it'll be crucial to have a passer and a destroyer next to each other. I mean, I don't know how you like to see things go, but I see a lot of people say Higuita and Mendes should have been the pairing there, but I just think they're a little too similar to be super effective.
Yeah, I see Higuita more as an offensive player. Similar but different to Yuri. I'm actually really excited to see Yuri, to answer your question. I'm really looking forward to seeing him in this new role. I think he hasn't hit his heights with us as of yet. And I think in this system where, you know, he doesn't have to run around that much. He gets to hold his position. He gets to spray the passes out wide. He gets to, you know his exact role in the team. I think he is going to excel. And I'm very excited to see Yuri Rossell get used to his maximum. I'm excited to see Mendes grow another year. You know, he's so young, 22, 23. And that was the player I wanted to talk about next. Very young, like you said, absolute destroyer in the midfield. He's a player who I think he already had a breakout year last year. Are you expecting big things for Mendes this upcoming season under Pareja?
I think he needs to. If we're going to be a playoff team, I think Mendes has to be that guy. He's got to set, you know, a pretty good pace in midfield, be that metronome. I think they're expecting a lot out of him. You know, Moreira has come out and said that they expect him to be a little more advanced of the two. So a guy like Uri next to him holding a little bit more, and Mendes getting a little more involved, which we didn't really see from him last year. I really would like to see him take a transition kind of like we saw Higuita throughout his Orlando City career. You know, when Higuita came in, he was similar, a little more rough around the edges, I think, than Mendes, in that he was mostly a ball-winning destroyer. And then he added things to his game. He became a little bit more of a number eight, became a little more offensive, like you mentioned. And so I really would like to see that out of Mendes and see him getting a little more involved going forward instead of just being that ball winner.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. That's exactly what I want to see out of Mendes, and I am very excited to see him next season. And then finally, I want to talk about the forward areas. Obviously, if we do go with the 4-2-3-1, Pereira in that attacking mid role, we're all expecting big things out of him after a full preseason with the team. I'm a little worried about how he's going to use Nani, I'm not going to lie. I feel like Nani had a very free role last year to do as he pleased, to create as he pleased. JOC said, look, you are clearly best player on this team. You can do whatever you want. How do you see Pareja using Nani? Do you see him giving him free reign to do whatever he wants? Because I feel like Pareja likes a more structured, disciplined system. Now, I don't know if Nani is going to succeed in that, or if he might take a step back and not be as creative than he was this past season with us.
It's definitely an interesting situation because we really haven't seen Pareja, at least in MLS, deal with a player like that. You know, Colorado and Dallas didn't have DPs of that stature. You know, guys like Fabian Castillo were very good players and arguably similar level of skill at this level in Nani's career. You know, I think that Pareja has shown that he's not dumb and he's going to put his team in a position to excel. And where I think O'Connor last year kind of got a little stuck in his ways of we need to play this way, and he tried to develop that system. I think Pareja is a little more flexible, and so if he realizes this is playing Nani this way is going to be how we win games, he's going to be able to adjust it a little bit. You know, everybody who's seen him at Dallas has said that he's tinkers, he's able to adjust. So, you know, I think even if it gets a little rough around the edges to the beginning of the season, we'll probably, at least I assume, we'll settle into something and he'll tweak it so that it eventually works. I mean, I don't know. What are you kind of expecting out of Nani next year? Are you expecting him to kind of drop off? Are you expecting him to hold serve?
I'm expecting less. I'm not expecting a huge amount less. I'm expecting less goals, and I'm expecting more assists. How about that? You know, especially if we get in a new striker. We all saw just how creative he was being. He should have had 5 to 7 more assists than he had. So I'm expecting more assists and probably 6 or 7 less goals. I mean, he was our main attacking threat come the end of the season. So that'd probably be what I expect. Can you agree with that?
Hopefully not, honestly, because I feel like we need to take that step goal-wise, and I would like to see, obviously, you know, the amount of goals is probably unrealistic, but I'd still like to see him at least getting close to double figures, because this team was abysmal in front of goal, and I think we're going to need Nani to chip in, and I think we're going to need whoever the striker is to chip in. So I just wonder if Nani drops off from the goal-scoring tally, who's going to pick that slack up, and then who's going to take that goal scoring to the next level? Because that's really what we need to do. We need to take the goal scoring to the next level, not just put up the same 40 some goals we scored last year.
All right. Transitioning. And this is the final question I really want to ask about players. The biggest talking point of the offseason has been Dom Dwyer, and transitioning, talking about goals. Do you think under Oscar Pareja, he can somehow revitalize, come back with a 15-20 goal season somehow?
Honestly, I think that relationship is busted. I don't think there's any way he's in purple next year. I don't.
Oh, not in purple at all?
Not at all. I think the fact that it's an open secret that we're trying to move him, the fact that we've already almost moved him, I think maybe Flavio has to bite that bullet and buy him out, but the fact that he's argued with the club publicly and privately over the last year, I just think that relationship is so damaged that it's really, I would assume, unsalvageable at this point. And I think if Flavio is smart enough, he's going to realize that it's best for the team and probably best for Dom if they part ways one way or another.
You see, I think we're going to pinch pennies again. I think we're going to do what we did with Kleschen, keep him on the books, and deal with it from there. I obviously still think we're going to bring in a striker, but I could definitely see us pinching pennies, saying, you know what, you have a year left on your deal. We're just going to have to deal with it for now, and then next season you'll be gone, and maybe then we'll go all out for a striker. But I'm not really sure. He could be bought out. I would hope that he gets bought out, as I'm sure a lot of fans would. I wasn't too pleased with his off-field antics, even on-field antics. You're right. The relationship's kind of broken, but I, right now, looking at the contract, looking at the no trade clause, I just don't see him leaving unless Flavio does buy him out. We can only hope. But now I want to move on a little bit to just looking overall at the next season, looking at the competitiveness of the East. It's looking very competitive. You look at Chicago moving back to Soldier Field. They're looking to make a couple splash signings. You look at Columbus having open DP slots. Inter Miami coming in, who haven't been impressive, but it's looking like they're trying to get a couple more big DP names in the next week or two, and they're looking to get in a coach soon. And, you know, just New York Red Bulls, DC United, NYCFC, all the Atlanta United, all the teams. The East is looking like it's going to be a competitive conference next year. With us being added to that mix, do you see us making that promised land, the playoffs?
It's plausible. I'm not expecting it. I think there's a lot of upheaval in the East right now. Obviously, you've got NYCFC going to have a new coach. What are they going to look like without Torrent? Atlanta's potentially, you know, there's a lot of talk about them losing maybe Pitty, maybe Barco, maybe both at some point next year. Toronto's stable, but DC lost Rooney, lost Acosta. What are they going to do with those spots? Are they going to keep spending? The Red Bulls, they're in an entirely new facelift there. The Revs probably trending up. Chicago, like you mentioned, they need to add a couple more pieces. Can they do that? Montreal, new owner, the new coach with Henri there. You know, I think that there is very little stability in the East this year, which I think bodes well for us because everybody's kind of in a similar position of in transition. So I think that Pareja has the ability and the know-how and the history in the league to understand what it's going to take. So I'm definitely positive about our potential to make the playoffs, but I don't think it's a knock against them. I mean, I asked this to our guys, what are your expectations for next year? What are you kind of judging Pareja against? Is making the playoffs going to be a big tick in his to-do list?
Okay. For me, I'm a realist, just like you are. I'm not expecting I'm hoping for playoffs. I think playoffs are plausible, like you said. I'm not 100% expecting it, though. We are definitely not a lock. Of course, we still have to see the signings we make, and just how Oscar Pareja interacts with the team. One thing I'm looking for next season is results. I want to see results, definitely at home. I want to see us really improve our home form and get some more wins at home. And I'm looking for a strong start. When I talked to the guy from Dallas Soccer Show, he said that Pareja was known for having very strong starts because he always had his team ready for the first couple months of the season. Then they would fall off in the middle and end really strong because that's when he would really find the system that he liked and that worked best with his players. I want to see this team start strong, get this fan base behind the team. I'm okay with falling off a little bit if we're going to start the season off in third place in the East after 10 games, 12 games. I would be so ecstatic to see that. I think that would help unify the fan base. It would help the fans trust in the team and the coach, and then we can push on from there. That's really what I'm hoping for. Am I expecting it? Not really. I think it's going to take, you know, those first 10, 12 games for him to learn his squad. And then from there, I think we'll have a strong rest of the season. But that's really what I'm hoping for. What are you hoping for next season?
I just want to see an identity. I want, like, a strong start would be great. I'm less looking at results, though, for those first 10 or so games, and I'm more looking for what is the style of play. Even if it doesn't look good, do players have an idea of what they're going to do with the ball? Do they know what Pareja wants out of them? How is that getting translated to the team? Because I think that is going to be a little more indicative of the overall health of the team under Pareja than if we get some results there in the early going. You know, with the league moving up a little bit, we're 6 weeks from the preseason. You know, we still got to add in probably 8 to 10 more guys and get them meshed before the end of the transfer window closes. So there's a lot of moving parts still, and I'm confident that they're going to have some semblance of a solid roster. You know, obviously we've still got to see what pieces are going to fall into place and how that puzzle gets put together. So it's tough to really be able to put a label on this team of what to expect. You know, improvement obviously is the big one, but Pareja in Dallas, his average season would be the best season Orlando City's ever had. So I'm confident we're going to see improvement across the board. The question is, how is that going to look, and how soon are we going to really say this is a Pareja team, this is what he wants to do, and you can clearly identify that on the field?
You know, Logan, I think the difference with this one is I can see him sticking around for 3 years. Can't you? Like, I really think he can be here for an extended period of time, whether that is going to be ultra successful, whether it's just going to get us to the playoffs in year three. I don't know. But for this one, it's just a little bit different than all the other ones. I can see him sticking around, obviously, because Luis Muzy is the guy above him. And I don't think he's going to fire him after a year and a half. But But that's what I'm excited about too. I'm excited that he's just, I can see him building a 3-4 year resume here, similar to how he did with FC Dallas.
I'm waiting to see the details of the deal though, because the original report on the length of contract we offered him was only 2 years. So whether or not he took that deal, I think is going to be interesting to see, because if he's only here for a guaranteed 2 years, there had some uncertainty there. I would love to see a coach stay here for an extended period of time. I would love it, especially because that means he's succeeding. But if he took a 2 year deal, it raises some questions of, does he want to be here long term? Is this more of a testing out, a feeling out of each other to see how the fit is? So that's, I think, my biggest question. And hopefully that gets answered sooner rather than later, because I think, so many people have criticized everybody getting fired after a year and a half, but signing a guy for only 2 years is not the biggest vote of confidence, as weird as that sounds.
Yeah, to that point, I do have to say I think it is a feeling out period. To what you said, I think it's a feeling out period if it is 2 years. I think we have a little bit of PTSD with all of our other coaches, and so we're saying, hey, look, we'll give you 2 years, and if we're happy with you after the first year, we'll extend you. We'll extend you 2 more years after that. So that'll be what, 4 year contract. So I don't know what it is. Hopefully it's not just 2 years, but if that is the case, I think that would be the reason behind it. Just all of our failings with our past coaches. Last question here for you. Did you see that bit in the video where he said, here's to a bunch of one nils or more one nils?
I did, yeah.
All right. My take on it was that he's looking at the past results and seeing how we struggled immensely in games where we were 1-0 up or 2-1 up and in the last minutes. So my guess is he's gonna really shore up our defense, especially in the last minutes of games. Do you think that that's what he was referencing there?
Yeah, and I mean it kind of goes with kind of the ethos that he's showed at Dallas, which is he's gonna be tough to play against, similar to James O'Connor. He is gonna try to defend leads. I think that was one of the biggest criticisms he had in Dallas, was that a lot of the Dallas faithful felt that he kind of tried to bunker too soon when they got leads, but it did result in a lot of one nils for them, and that's, I think he's completely fine with that. I think he's more about result than about playing flashy, playing, scoring a lot of goals. It's not always going to be the prettiest soccer, but at the end of the day, he's going to win games. And so I think maybe that's a le how kind of how I took it, was Pareja Ball is going to be one nils. But you look at Leicester City back in the day, winning a Premier League title off one nils. I personally am not a huge stickler for style of play. As long as you get the job done, I don't care how you do it.
Well, it sounds like you're gonna like him. His little saying that I was told was "Busca la forma," which basically means "find a way." And it's looking like that's what he's gonna do with us. I would be fine with one nils as long as we get the results. And obviously, a one nil is. Logan, I really appreciate you taking your time this late at night to come on the podcast. You were my last hope. You came on. I really appreciate it. Guys, if you want to follow Logan, which I'm sure all of you do, he is at the Roar Pod on Twitter. And by the time this comes out, his podcast episode will be out. So make sure you give that a listen as well. Logan, thank you so much for coming on.
Appreciate having me on. My girlfriend, I'm also her last hope, so it's a pattern for me.
We'll end it at that.
Have a good night, man.